Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Start or sit week 9. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. That, of course, is Andrew Erickson from PFF. And today, joining us as our guest, the one, the only, the Welsh, the Debo Samuel truther, who's been pounding the pavement preseason, comes back again. You know him from In This League and, of course, the many guest spots here on the show. Welsh, welcome back for the start sit. We got a lot of big news floating around here in the last 24 hours in terms of fantasy football readiness. So this is a good pod to have you on, my friend.
This is going to be a show. This is going to be a show. Like, I got to tell you, you guys probably feeling the same way. I don't even want to do a show. Like, Bogman and I did this emergency podcast on Monday because we woke up Monday morning to Derrick Henry, you know, being out for the season. And immediately after we did it, there was just more news. You had the Ruggs. Every day there's something crazy. And the lame joke is to say it has been a year of a week, my friends.
Yeah, a year of a week. It certainly has. I mean, literally every day has been some massive NFL story, Andrew Erickson. And we are here trying to just keep up. I feel like we're just trying to keep pace right now. And I'm getting a little tired of running. How about you?
Hey, keeps us entertained to an extent and keeps us on our toes. And that's the NFL. Like, things change so quickly. Not for long. NFL.
There you go. That is true. And I'll tell you what, guys. I mean, before we even get into anything else, we got to talk about the Aaron Rodgers stuff that just broke literally minutes before we started this. So Aaron Rodgers, apparently not vaccinated, has now tested positive for COVID. We were talking before the show. Clearly, there's COVID going through that building right now. So anybody not vaccinated is certainly at risk for bad dad puns out there. He's thrown basically his entire team and this week's contest in jeopardy. That's what Aaron Rodgers has done. He has put everybody in jeopardy. You're welcome. You tip your waitress on the way out. But still, I mean, what do we do here? Now we pivot to Jordan Love. What does this do, Andrew, to the Green Bay Packers offense in this important game against the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely makes those players a little bit more risky to play. You have a safer floor with Aaron Rodgers. You have a higher team total with Aaron Rodgers. For sure, we're going to see the line drop significantly for the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers under center. But like we saw with some of these backup quarterbacks, is sometimes we underestimate how good they can be. You know, Mike White came out and was really productive for the New York Jets. So I'm not saying that. And if you look at the matchup, Jordan Love is playing the Chiefs defense. True. That sucks. Like, it's like dead last in the league across multiple categories. So he still has weapons. He has Aaron Jones. He has Devontae Adams. So I think those are the only guys you were starting anyway, and you're still going to start them. You know, Devontae Adams was the wide receiver 12 in PPR formats with Brent Huntley for a stretch of games for 8 weeks in 2017 without Aaron Rodgers. And we know Aaron Jones, they may feed him more in the run game, and he catches passes out of the backfield. What is Jordan Love going to try to hit MVS downfield, or is he going to check it down to Jones? He's probably going to check it down to Jones. So I think that they're riskier now because you don't have the floor with Rodgers, and things could obviously just get off the rails really quickly with a new quarterback under center, but I think you're still going to be playing those guys as top 12 options.
Welsh, obviously you're not taking Aaron Jones out, and it's probably seeming like the wrong thing to do to overreact and take Davante Adams out of any lineups, correct? Because you can't possibly do that. He's the best player on your team, most likely. He was your first round draft pick, most likely. You got to still roll him out there. But what's your expectation now with that lineup? Are you creating a little bit more into that flex position, potentially like a little bit more boom or upside then to maybe offset maybe a little loss of floor potentially? Again, we use potentially here, as Andrew brought up the situation last week with Mike White of not hiring Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, I think he completely nailed it. Like, you just cannot sit Davante Adams, even though immediately when this came out, everybody circulated those numbers, you know, of what Davante Adams has done without Aaron Rodgers. We just know there aren't enough weapons. You have to put him out there, but you've got to set yourself up good in any other spot, whether it's DFS or, you know, you're playing in just your standard, you know, season long. You got to set yourself up, because I had a couple leagues where I've had some wide receiver problems. I had a lot of shares of Calvin Ridley, and I've had to make do, and I play in a lot of 16-man leagues, and I had a couple spots where literally 2 days ago or yesterday I was setting up, picking up, trying to pick up MVS, you know, just maybe as a speculative, or Lazard. Now that doesn't seem like something I want to do whatsoever. I'm going to just readjust and make a move off of them to literally anybody else, because I think this is an Aaron Jones, Davante Adams only start, and outside of that, I don't know what I would play. Even AJ Dillon. This line, by the way, speaking of line movement, the actual game line moved 6 points immediately when this happened. And Joe, I don't know if it was you that acknowledged, I saw somebody tweet about it, that we didn't even see Derrick Henry with the injury go out. The Titans line moved like, I think maybe a half a point. We saw 6 point movement in the game line in the first reaction of Rodgers.
Needles. That's what it is. Yeah, of course. The quarterbacks move those needles significantly. So.
It just, Derrick Henry's kind of the quarterback, if you will, of that Titans
literally
offense.
Yeah.
But that's a big, big line movement. So the expectation has definitely changed on what this game is going to be.
And it's astounding to think that on Sunday, we lost a wide receiver one in Ridley. On Monday, we lost the 1-1 running back in Derrick Henry. And now we lost a QB1 in Aaron Rodgers. And it's all by Thursday.
I'm terrified for Friday. I am terrified of Friday.
Let's just take Friday off, all of us. Let's just take the day off.
No doubt.
We'll all go hang out together and get some beers or something. But enough of this. Like, seriously, can we stop? But luckily, Fantasy Pros is always here for you. And if you head over to fantasypros.com/myplaybook, you will get the Start Sit Assistant, which is what we use to power this podcast. Instant recommendations on your team's best lineup for the week. You can see the percentage of experts who would start each player on your roster, and you can edit and set your lineup straight from My Playbook, which is great. It's something I love to do, because when you're playing literally like a league on every single site, it's like a buffet table. You got to go to this place and this place to set this lineup. No. With My Playbook, you can go and just bring them all up at one time, make all the adjustments, and just like that, your lineups are all set for whether you're playing on Yahoo, ESPN, NFL, it doesn't matter. That's what's so great about the Start Sit Assistant, and you get instant email if your lineup changes before kickoff, which is great. And you can only get that at My Playbook, which is part of fantasypros.com. Also, don't forget about that autopilot feature too. For those leagues where you've lost Derrick Henry and you already were have one or two wins in the season, maybe you just turn on the autopilot and just let things coast and you go about the rest of your life. Or if you're no like me, maybe you're going to take a few days off and you're a little afraid about what you might miss. Well, autopilot is that great feature to manage your lineup and save time, especially if you're in a lot of leagues. That's what I like to do, because it'll auto swap all the players for you. If somebody's ruled out, if there's an injury, it'll just optimize your lineup for you right there. So make sure you get that autopilot feature as well. Gentlemen, let's kick things off here with the running back position here and our start sits for week 9. And let's start with the guys in the top 20. I want to start with you, Andrew. Who is a running back in the top 20 that you're slightly concerned about? Maybe you're not sitting them, but maybe you're fading them a little bit in terms of what your expectations are for them in this week.
Well, the guy that stood out to me the most was Kamara at ECR number 2. And I mean, it's Taysom Hill starting in this game, at least under my understanding, if he's healthy and back from the concussion. And we saw last year, Kamara was not a top 5 running back with Taysom Hill under center. His fantasy finishes last year with Taysom Hill in half point PPR, 22, 39, 11, and 10. And two of those matchups were against the Atlanta Falcons. So I get that the matchup is good in this week against Atlanta. You know, that's why I kind of like Taysom Hill if he ends up suiting up in this matchup. But, you know, his target share is going to go down. It went down last year, 21% to 13%. We saw his routes run actually go down last week with the addition of Mark Ingram from 73% to 46%. So I just don't understand why he's being plugged in as the number two overall running back when there are clear factors at play that are going to prevent that from happening.
But you're never taking him out, correct? I mean, just to be clear for everybody listening, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you're never really taking on any of these top 20 running backs for the most part, but you said if that's well, a guy I'm low
I don't know. On. There's some guys in the top 20 this week that I wouldn't consider quote-unquote top 20 running backs, but you're right. I mean, this is a top five talent, though. A little different story there.
Yeah, but I mean, you need volume at running back position. It doesn't always matter about how great the talent is necessarily.
Interestingly, though, Kamara has been more of a volume guy than we've seen in the past as far as carries go, but Ingram puts like a big kind of question mark in that as they implement him more in the offense.
Yeah, that's the other part, too, that other missing piece now with the two of those guys together. So we'll see how that goes, and maybe this is that correction where it goes better, but Andrew brings up a great point. The track record of what we've seen already with this combination has been underwhelming, to say the least. Welsh, who do you think is going to be underwhelming in the top 20 at running back this week in week 9?
Well, mine's kind of a cheat because I did take number 20, so that's totally cheating. But when I was looking across the board, I don't know if I was like overly excited or just overly pessimistic about any of them. It felt like kind of like interested, like, hey, like these guys kind of belong in the top 20 you go. But the one that stood out to me as always, and I'm shocked that he even got in there, was Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds slipped in at number 20 on PPR and a half PPR on the ECR and Fantasy Pros. And I absolutely hate that matchup. San Francisco has been 11th in stopping the run on running backs, especially guys like him. Six carries in his first game he got against the 49ers. And the emergence of James Conner and the horrible secondary in San Francisco, to me, it's a big no thanks. I don't believe that the 49ers are going to give up a bunch of receptions where Edmonds is going to be breaking out. James Conner, interestingly enough, we'll talk about here in a little bit, has been, you know, the touchdown magnet. And like I said, I think the Cardinals are going to be slinging the ball deep. I don't think Edmonds is going to be a part of it. And the 49ers, especially if they it all get ahead. This game has moved as far as lines go as well. The Cardinals were like 2.5 to open. And last night, as I looked, it became a pick'em. So there's a lot of money going on in San Francisco. If San Francisco were to get ahead, you know they're going to abandon the run immediately. So I kind of hate Chase Edmonds as a RB2 this week.
All right. My guy is Zach Moss, and I'm going to throw out there, he is RB18 and a half PPR. He's only had 8 carries in each of the back-to-back games. And I know it's supposed to be another smash matchup, but wasn't last week supposed to be a smash matchup? Isn't every week with the Buffalo Bills theoretically a smash matchup with the way they've played this year? I don't know, 5 points, 9 points. I don't get excited about this. This does not scream top 20 running back to me. I can understand if you're desperate for running back, having to roll him out there this week or as a flex. I get that. But I am very concerned about it because, once again, these expectations we have on Zach Moss, they've rarely come to fruition if you go look at the game log and what he's done so far. I know, you know, against Miami he had the 2 touchdowns, but ever since it's been lackluster. He's had no scores in his last 3 games, so there's a lot of things trending in the wrong direction for Moss. Let's get to the guys on the fringe here of the RB3 slash flex conversation, and let's pinpoint a few guys that, Andrew, you feel comfortable starting this week that you feel good about in their matchup. So give me a couple of your guys that you want to start in week 9 at running back.
Yeah, like Josh Jacobs. You know, I was surprised that his ECR was actually outside the top 20 running backs. He's sitting at 21, and I have him as a top 12 running back this week. He's playing the New York Giants, 4th most rushing yards allowed to running backs this season. And, you know, before he got hurt in that game, the last time that he played in week 7, you know, he was rolling. Like, he has seen a high percentage of the team's carries, the running back carries, 71% over the last 6 quarters that he's played. So he played basically the first half of the last game that the Raiders played before their bye week, and then he sat out the second half with a chest injury. But, you know, the injury was not seen as something significant, so he should be back. We don't have the injury reports yet, but he should be back in full for this matchup, and he's actually increased his receptions and targets like over the last couple weeks. So I think this is a really good spot for Josh Jacobs against a really bad Giants defense. So I'm not so sure why he's ranked so low. You know, Kenyon Drake, yeah, has been getting a little bit more involved, but his touches really aren't that high compared to what it was been before, you know, John Gruden was removed from the situation in Las Vegas. So I think Josh Jacobs is in a really good spot this week.
All right. So Josh Jacobs in a good spot. Who else is in a good spot for you that you want to start?
Myles Gaskin, I think that he's in a situation where we saw him last week get right around 14 to 15 touches without Malcolm Brown. That's kind of what the expectation was going in, where any game that Malcolm Brown had really not been featured in, that's kind of the workload that Myles Gaskin was playing, and they're playing the Texans. Like, if you kind of zoom out off of the Miami Dolphins situation and be like, all right, you're going to be a running back, you're playing the Texans, who have allowed the most rushing yards to any to the running back position this year and you're going to get 15 touches, like, you're going to want to play that guy in most situations, because I know that's not ideal with the way that Miami's handling their backfield, but I think that the matchup is too good to pass up. Last week, the matchup wasn't great, obviously, against Buffalo, and that's kind of why Gaskin dug it out, but the volume was there for him when Malcolm Brown was out. He's going to be out again, so I think that Miles Gaskin makes a lot of sense against the Houston Texans. And I do also want to hit on, just quickly, Darrell Williams as well. People, I think, are overreacting a little bit to the Gore game, basically, that he had. It was all in one drive. Like, he had, like, the majority of his carries in one drive that just happened to end up seeing him get goal line touches. So, I mean, he got out-snapped 30-3 in the second half of that game. Like, Darrell Williams is still the guy there as long as CEH is not there. So, I saw him ranked outside the top 20 running backs as well. And, you know, he's a top 10 guy for me because he plays in the Chiefs and the Packers defense that I'm not afraid of. So, yeah, I think Darrell Williams should still be a starting in lineups.
Welsh, any fear of Gaskin or Williams starting this week?
Gaskin, yes. Like, Gaskin always would be the thing. Mm-hmm. I kind of, like, when Tua's back, it's better. The matchup is kind of, like, fun. But I just don't trust Gaskin. But I'd also say, like, I'm not sure when we get into this territory of players. I don't know about you guys. When you were looking through them, you didn't look and you're like, whoa, look at all these must-haves. Oh, look at all these locks in here. So I could see it. But Gaskin is kind of a, like, fool me once, shame on, you know, that type of territory.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Andrew's right, though. It's probably a little bit more touchdown equity for him in this game, which has been his problem. He's only got 3 touchdowns on the year. 2 of them came in one game. So I think that's always where we struggle with Gaskin, right? It's because sometimes he just doesn't see the end zone. And that's something that's very frustrating. We compare him to other backs. But at the same time, he's still, you know, a top 25 back in half PPR on the year. Somehow he's been able to gut that out. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, one of our favorite daily fantasy apps. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. Prize Picks has tons of stats to choose from, including yards, receptions, touchdown, fantasy points, and more. Make your picks, lock it in. That's all you have to do. It's easy. The more you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is one of the best ways to play. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries too, so you can take the over on LeBron and the under on Mahomes in the same entry, and it offers every sport you can think of. Football, college football, basketball, college basketball, baseball, soccer, MMA, and more. Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe, and it offers fast withdrawals. And Prize Picks app is rated 4.8 in the App Store with rave reviews. Prize Picks is the only way to go for daily fantasy. Prize Picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy. Daily fantasy simplified. Find it in the App Store and Google Play and use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% discount deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. And now, back to the action. Welsh, how about for you? Who are some guys that you are looking at starting this week that you feel good about in that fringe of, again, that RB3/flex conversation?
Interestingly enough, I'll have like the inverse of Miles Gaskin. It's one of my favorites. And this is the pivot away from Edmonds. Give me James Conner. And it might actually just be like tropey at this point, because it's like every week we're James Conner. But I love this matchup. I'm fading Edmonds. Also, Conner leads. Now that Derrick Henry is gone, he was tied with him. He leads the NFL in red zone rushing touchdowns with 8. And check out this number. This is crazy. Derrick Henry had 8 touchdowns inside the red zone, which was just the 20. And Derrick Henry had an 86.5% rush percentage inside the 20 with 8 touchdowns. James Conner, 8 touchdowns with only a 37% rush percentage inside the 20. But it jumps up to 53% inside the 5, where he has 6 touchdowns. So the San Francisco 49ers secondary is atrocious. I think not only are you going to have big plays, but you're going to have the corners just ripping the guys down. I think the Cardinals are going to get inside of that red zone. And I would not be shocked if this is another 2-touchdown game for James Conner. I hate doing it because he's done it 3 times this year, and you don't want to say every week he's going to do it. But this is kind of a prime spot for him to do so. So I like James Conner this week. I also like, and this one is a complete unknown, but I like Jeremy McNichols is where I would go. I hate the matchup for Adrian Peterson, especially just coming off the scrap heap. I think I understand the move of what they made. I talked about this on In This League, where it's like, if you can get half a season in Adrian Peterson to just, you know, hit the rock, he can do that. He's absolutely built to do that. But these next 4 games, especially 3, are not built for that and built for effectiveness. But I do think where we've seen Jeremy McNichols be heavily involved in the pass game, that's where he can thrive a bit. And I think a lot of us are in weird running back situations this coming week that I think you can feel a little bit more comfortable about putting him in that flex spot.
I think in the full PPR in the flex spot, McNichols, I can roll with. I can understand that, especially if you're trying to work out the game script. And the guy who understands the playbook and the guy that understands the offense who's been there all year, it's not perfect. It's certainly far from it. And I don't know how much upside it has, but certainly playable if you have to. And some of us are in those have to situations right now. And James Conner, to your point too, I got to say, I don't have a lot of shares, but the few that I have, I've been very pleased with. I mean, he has performed well enough. He's kind of the inverse of Gaskin, right? The guy that doesn't get a ton of volume, but finds the end zone. And
he is touchdown equity. Like, that's right. who he is. That's his nickname. He is touchdown equity for sure.
That's a good nickname. Now, that's a nickname. I'm so sick of these, like, J-Rob and A-B. Like, enough of these, like, initial stupid things. Touchdown equity. That is a nickname.
Can we do like XFL again, where they just put it on the back of their jerseys? Oh, you know what they should do? Equity? They should do like so baseball, how MLB has a Players Weekend where they can put their nicknames on it. I want that for the NFL. Like, how about just like week 11, and then we'll have Connor just be touchdown equity. I love
it. Yeah, Robbie Anderson can be all targets, no catches.
Drops. No, he'll just be drops.
All right, Andrew, who do you want to sit this week at running back? Guys you don't feel good about on this fringe that maybe people are considering and maybe they should reconsider.
Yeah, I think that he brought up a great point about Adrian Peterson. And I think that we want people, they got him off the waiver wire. They're like excited. They're like, they're seeing all the highlights from his Vikings days on Twitter. And it's like, right, guys, like that was such a long time ago with Adrian Peterson. Like, you do not want to feel forced to start him, even though you add him off the waiver wire. If he was your number one priority, you blew your fab budget or whatever you did. Like, don't feel like you have to start him. Like, you can be patient. Like, you can see things play out. Like, the schedule is tough the next couple weeks, but it gets better. So watch it play out. Like, see how the touches are distributed between him and Deontay Foreman. Like, he's going to be involved, or at least that's what the reports are saying. So let's see it first. Like, you don't want to jam in a 36-year-old guy against the Los Angeles Rams and Aaron Donald. Like, it's just not a recipe for success. So just, you know, cool the Jets with Adrian Peterson. And then the other guy is Latavius Murray. So he's coming off the bye week. The last time we saw him, he was hurt. He missed the game. And I just don't know what the Ravens are going to do after the bye week. They could come out with a whole different plan of attack at running back, and they could use Tyson Williams, or they could make Le'Veon Bell the feature guy, or Devontae Freeman. Like, so many question marks of what they would do, and the Vikings have actually been much better against running backs over the last couple of weeks. The last 4 weeks have actually allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points per game to the position. They did a good job shutting down Ezekiel Elliott last week. So Latavius Murray in a potential four-headed running back by committee, and I think the Ravens are just like, we're just going to throw the ball. Like, we don't really want to run it. Like, Lamar Jackson is playing at an MVP level. Let's throw the ball. And Murray may not even be the best pass catching running back that they have. So I have concerns about Murray.
Yeah, I made the comment yesterday on a show. I feel like the Ravens backfield is basically what the waiver wire looked like at the end of the 2020 season. Like, guys who just got left on the waiver wire, Murray, Freeman, right? We're just like Le'Veon Bell. There's a lot of the guys just floating around the waiver wire. And somehow the Ravens went, I'm going to blow all my fab on those guys, and I want them for this year. That's what I want. Also, just breaking here as we're covering the running back position, Saquon Barkley tested positive for COVID on his initial test. He is vaccinated, so he needs two negative tests to get back, so he's going to be retested. So, continue to wait on Saquon Barkley, everyone, because that is a fluid situation, as I like to call it. So, even though we don't have an abundance of riches at running back, let's say that we do, Welsh. Let's say that there's somebody you have that you maybe shouldn't be starting this week at the position.
Boy, that's Saquon. Saquon Barkley news just for a minute. Just had me like, Saquon also feels like the only guy that COVID could like snap his ankle. Like, it doesn't do that, but it feels like that would be the only one. So that terrified me hearing any of that. Yeah. All right. Devin Singletary would be one. I just don't understand Singletary in general. I don't understand him being inside as a flex. I think he's 30th on half PPR, which I just don't understand. He has had double digit carries. He hasn't had double digit carries in the last 3 weeks. The Jags, they're still 16th in fantasy points given up to running backs. I know you're fading Zach Moss, and you probably inherently wouldn't want to also fade Devin Singletary, but this team, they love to fade their running backs. They're just not implemented enough, so I don't see the reason why I would do it. And then my big one would be Mike Davis, because nope. That's the only analysis I need to give, because nope and never. I know with Calvin Ridley out, and we kind of saw it in the last game, Patterson is going to kind of probably shift into taking more of that wide receiver role. And we specifically saw it because Mike Davis started getting carries again. He had 4 in week 7, then he had 9. He was involved in the pass game where he caught 5. But no, don't fall into that. The New Orleans Saints are giving up the 4th least fantasy points to running backs, and they are giving up the least rushing yards to anybody in the NFL. Patterson is more explosive. Mike Davis is not. I also expect them to be down, which is going to make them move away from it. Maybe he's going to get some cheap throws here or there, but Mike Davis, no. And yeah, no.
I support your no for all of the reasons that you've given. And no. I take that in. No, no. And to your point, too, about the Buffalo backfield, this is where logic, I always feel, sometimes ruins us, because as fantasy football analysts, we look at this game, we look at the script, we look at it should be an absolute blowout. And yeah, theoretically, one, if not both of these running backs should be very useful. Yet whenever we get in these games with Buffalo, it just doesn't seem to be the case. It seems to make them very difficult to start. Desperation starts for Zach Moss. I get it. He is listed in the ECR as a top 20 running back this week, but at the same time, it's the comfort level I have with that, and Welsh brings up similar points about Devin Singletary.
Josh Allen will lead this team in rushing yards this week. I guarantee that.
It's not impossible. Yeah. Let's play a little game of who should I start using our Who Should I Start tool, which is free over at fantasypros.com/start, and you can plug some guys in that you have, and the experts will give you their percentages on who thinks you should start this guy or that guy. Let's play Myles Gaskin against Boston Scott. Andrew, we'll start with you. Who would you rather start this week? Myles Gaskin, who you already said you like to start, or Boston Scott in this matchup against the Chargers and that run defense that is not very good?
Yes, I think that's a sharp take right there, that the Chargers defense is not good against the run. Sharp. They just invite it. So it's close for me. I do think that both guys are viable this week. I will lean slightly towards Gaskin for the reasons I kind of listed off, but it's close. Like, I have them ranked very, very close.
Yes. Soft zone contain. I believe that is the the thought process from the defensive coordinator. How about you, Welsh? What would you do here in this situation? Myles Gaskin or Boston Scott? I know you have some trepidation about Gaskin.
Oh, man. I don't like this one at all. I really don't. As we call him, by the way, we call him Bogman Scott, just for fun. instead of Boston Scott. I'm going to lean Boston Scott in how he was implemented into the offense last week. I think the Jordan Howard thing goes away, and Kenny Gainwell, I mean, they clearly, like, we all just were dummies and fell into it. It's like, oh, it's got to be Gainwell, especially last week. It was like, oh, they got to implement him in the pass game. They just didn't. I think they're going to struggle in this game, which could lead to a little bit more passing, but the Chargers give up, you know, a bunch of fantasy points for running. But I like Boston Scott. Give me Boston Scott.
The blowout didn't help Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, you know, just the fact that they didn't.
Or Jordan Howard.
Right. No, that's fair. But I guess the whole point is, like, if we're up by this much, we might as well let Jordan Howard off the practice squad get some run instead of hurting Kenneth Gainwell, who we have an investment in. I think that makes a lot of sense in a 44-6 blowout. But we'll see. We'll see what happens this week. I think a little bit more competitive. I'll say this. I think that Boston Scott is the guy that I would start if I needed the floor and I just want to get my touchdown and get out, because I find it hard to believe Boston Scott doesn't come away with a touchdown in this game. Myles Gaskin's the play for the upside. Like, if you're saying it's a competitive matchup this week, I need to really put my best foot forward, Gaskin will be that guy. But if I'm already in a good spot and my opponent just lost Aaron Rodgers for the week and things like that are going on, then yeah. But 79% of experts actually say Myles Gaskin in this one. So, interesting little note there. How about another one? Let's tell your best friend here, Mike Davis, against Jeremy McNichols. Gross. Welsh, we'll start with you with this one. Mike Davis or Jeremy McNichols?
Gee, I wonder where I would go. No, Mike Davis. I said no. I'm going Jeremy McNichols, even though... So here what's funny about this is I think Jeremy McNichols actually represents kind of the similar Gaskin upside. Just Gaskin has done it. But the problem is Boston Scott has a floor. There's no floor with Mike Davis. The floor is lava. It does not work. So I'm not going to play Mike Davis because it's not going to work with him. Where I think Jeremy McNichols, yes, you get Peterson in here. Yes, there's question marks. We don't know what this running game and this offense is going to look like, but we have seen McNichols take that one huge receiving game. I think he's going to get targeted 6-7 times out of the backfield. I think he can make some plays, and I wouldn't be shocked to see him just like a little bit more worked into the offense in this first week as far as rushing goes, with Adrian Peterson just getting acclimated. So I will take McNichols over Mike Davis.
All right, Erickson, how about you? McNichols or Mike Davis? Who would you start?
I mean, Welsh really He really did Mike Davis dirty. So I'm still gonna go. I'm gonna go with Nichols too. I think that he makes sense. You know, he's PFF's fourth highest graded receiver at the running back position. Like you're looking for the pass catching upside, and as the Titans are seven and a half point road dogs against like an unstoppable Rams offense, is the Titans defense going to stop the Rams? Probably not. So they're going to have to throw the ball a ton. They don't have Derrick Henry. They're going to have to throw the ball more. And that means more checkdowns for Jeremy McNichols. And the Rams rank bottom eight in yards, receptions, and targets allowed to running backs. So I just think the game script fits perfectly for a Jeremy Nichols big game that we can see spike production from when guys get involved in the passing game. You just get more points. You know, I want receptions. I don't want carries. Like Mike Davis gets carries. Great. I don't care.
Because they're worthless.
Worthless carries. And how many can he have that are going to be useful against the New Orleans defense that we pointed out before? It's funny. I agree with both of you guys, but we are in the minority. 58% go with Mike Davis there, the experts and the consensus. We'll see after this show. Maybe we've moved the needle. Hopefully we have. All right, let's move to another one here. Let's move to wide receiver. And I hate doing this because I feel like I've trolled AJ Brown more than once now in the last month. And the one time I did, I was right. And I think I'm going to go down this road again. I'm just worried about number six wide receiver AJ Brown this week against the Rams defense, against Ramsey, with no other options. Again, no other options. What does this mean to Ryan Tannehill, who has shown that, you know, when push comes to shove, he can be mistake prone when all of the options aren't out there on the field? It concerns me. Do I sit AJ Brown? Probably not. But at the same time, I think I'm looking around at my other wide receivers and going, all right, I really got to hyper-focus on the other matchups I have available to me. I try to maximize those, maximize looking at the totals, the cornerback matchups, all of those things. So AJ Brown concerns me. Welsh, who concerns you this week in that top 30 group of wide receivers?
Also want to throw out just real quick on that, like might be even better for McNichols. If you've got Ramsey locking down AJ Brown, there could be a lot more check down happening. I feel like every time I come in here, I don't know why I pick on him, but I'm not particularly a fan. I'm going to go with Tyler Boyd, who Tyler Boyd has just kind of been like, wee all year.
Hey, we picked on him last week. So
yeah. Speaking of PFF has got a grade of below average where the other wide receivers have got an average grade on it. Jamar Chase coming off of like an ant game. He's going to get back involved. I don't actually particularly like Joe Burrow this week either. But 139 yards receiving combined over the last four games. And he has had one touchdown in his last six games. He's just not one of those top two. It is one of the top two. And then the next tier, if you're lucky, is into Boyd. I don't trust him. And he is inside the top 30 this week. So I would be fading Tyler Boyd.
He's wide receiver 35 on the year. He does only have two touchdowns. The touchdown kind of saved his week last week in a matchup that really became quite a shootout that I don't think any of us anticipated. That's for sure. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Beachbound. In life, we're all bound for different things. With Beachbound.com vacations, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion, bound for rejuvenation, or maybe bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to have the poolside bar near me, cocktail in hand, maybe a nice cigar as well. But as long as I've got a good view and a good drink in my hand, I'll be happy. With Beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you no matter what you're looking for, no matter what you're bound for. Beachbound does this for you. They thrive on making sure their customer getaways are unique experiences that create lasting memories and bring relaxation and luxury to worldwide beaches. So what are you waiting for? Whatever you're bound for, there's a beach out there waiting for you at beachbound.com. And now back to the action. Andrew, how about you? Who is in the top 30 at wide receiver that you're concerned with this week?
I had to double take when I saw that Marvin Jones was ECR wide receiver 28 against the Buffalo Bills, who rank number two in terms of fantasy points allowed to wide receivers this year. Look, Marvin Jones has had one good game since DJ Chark got hurt. And if you look at the target share distribution between all the receivers and tight ends on Jacksonville over the last 4 weeks without Chark, it's the flat. It's like 18% for Chenault, Chark, Dan Arnold, and Jamal Swagnew, as we're calling him now, the leading Jaguars wide receiver.
What is this we you're speaking of? We are, although I will support that on the jersey that Welsh was talking about. Swagnew.
Yes.
That's a good nickname. All right. That's fine.
We got a lot of good nicknames off of this show. This is great.
So it really could be any of those four that ends up getting the garbage time targets, because like, that's really what you're hoping for. Like, we're not going to see Trevor Lawrence have an efficient passing game against the best secondary in the NFL in the Buffalo Bills, the best pass defense, in my opinion, top five. So I just don't see how you can have Marvin Jones as a top 30 receiver, have any confidence when you have a 1 in 4 chance that he's the guy that gets the targets. And it's like, okay, then what's the upside in a terrible matchup? I don't see it. There are so many other receivers I'd rather play, a Van Jefferson. It's not less about the targets because I don't even know how confident and how secure those even are in this fringy offense.
Welsh, I don't know if you know this or not, but Andrew Erickson is single-handedly responsible for every grade at PFF of everything. He has a magical red marker that he actually goes through and grades everything. So
he's a teacher. That's his nickname. He's Professor. Professor Erickson.
Ah, Professor
I like it.
Erickson. There we go. Oh, so good, Andrew. We love you, Andrew.
And he looks so young between us, too. Like, just aging.
Speak for yourself. I look great.
You do look great for your age. I'm sorry. You do look great.
I could be 75 years old or 32 years old. Nobody knows.
That's true.
That's the beauty. I am the Ben Kingsley of fantasy sports. That's what I am. All right, let's move on to some of the guys you want to start this week. Andrew, let's go back to you here. Give me the guys that you are excited about starting on that fringe of wide receiver three into that flex spot that you think are going to be useful this week.
I like Kadarius Toney. Sterling Shepard is not going to play. He's already been ruled out. He has another injury he's dealing with. Now it's a quad. I just feel so bad for Shepard. And Daniel Jones is just the guy. I don't think we're ever going to see him actually play with all of his weapons ever. And it sucks because when he does have those guys, like, he is a pretty good fantasy quarterback. But unfortunately, we can't have nice things. Toney, to highlight him, the matchup's not great. The Raiders have actually kind of been one of the better pass defenses this year against wide receivers, but it's about the volume that Toney is seeing when he's on the field. 41% target rate per route run is number one in the NFL over the last 4 weeks. PFF's second highest graded wide receiver, leads the NFL in yards per route run. It's all the efficiency metrics that you want from a wide receiver. Toney's checking all those boxes. So even if Kenny Golladay comes back, I mean, he wasn't really commanding a high amount of targets in this offense anyway. So Daniel Jones, when he looks to throw, it's Kadarius Toney that he's looking for early and often. So as long as everything checks out with Toney's hand, I know that he banged it up in the last game. As long as that's okay, the ankle looked fine. So I like Toney a lot in this spot.
You know, you make a great point about Daniel Jones, which is it is unfortunate that he hasn't gotten any consistency out of the players and the personnel on the field. It is so difficult to get into a rhythm as a quarterback with your weapons when your weapons aren't there or they're ever changing. And it's this guy this week that's healthy and now it's that guy. So the game plan keeps changing. The opponents keep changing. It's a tough situation. But at the same time, with all those draft picks that the Giants have, looking at the draft class of quarterback right now coming in, it is not a great class of quarterbacks. I watching college football every Saturday, I'm not excited about that. There's a part of me that wonders if they should just go back to Daniel Jones or figure out something else. I don't know, but it's a tough situation. Give me somebody, Welsh, that you want to start this week at wide receiver you feel good about.
Well, one of them, I think he's kind of obvious, but going back to that well of Hunter Renfrow, and you can just like knock him up a couple notches. The first is the obvious point, though, you know, what we could say about Ruggs as a football player, he wasn't commanding a whole lot of targets.
Right.
They just did not want to use him a whole bunch. So I'm not necessarily sure like the loss of him creates more targets, but Hunter Renfrow is consistency. He has had at least 5 catches in every game but one this year, and it was against Denver. He's only got 2 scores, but this Giants team has given up, I believe I had it, the 7th most receiving touchdowns, and they're 26 in fantasy points given up to wide receivers. So I love Hunter Renfrow. I always love Hunter Renfrow to put him out there, but I like it even just like a little bit more this week as they need to establish that pass game.
I'm glad you mentioned Renfrow too, because I feel like everyone's talking about Bryan Edwards right now. They're talking about all these other things, trying to say, well, now that Ruggs isn't there, what's it going to be? And the point is very simple, which is it wasn't like he was a target monster to begin with in terms of, oh, now it opens up all this other share for all these other guys. No, it opens up the deep threat.
Yeah,
it changes
the scope of like how they're able to spread the field a little bit, but it does not change the shares. And guess what? That does not affect Hunter Renfrow. It actually makes it better if they're losing some of that deep threat. Although, you know, Bryan Edwards, Bryan Edwards almost seemed to be a better option than Henry Ruggs, even though Ruggs was more explosive.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be shocked if they went out and signed DeSean Jackson or something like that off the scrap heap, because he kind of fits that Ruggs
great call
field stretching kind of thing. Keep an eye on that next couple days.
Yeah, good call.
Bring back John Brown.
Downtown.
There you go. Bring back downtown John Brown. Also, name on the jersey. All right, give me another guy, Welsh, you want to start this week.
Tim Patrick. I like Tim Patrick. He's inside the top 15 of that wide receiver cornerback matchup, according to PFF, which you guys should go check out. A very invaluable tool that they have got. And also, Dallas is 25th in fantasy points given up to wide receivers, while while they're the eighth best in fantasy points against running backs. So they will stop the run. Denver will have to pass, and they will pass to Tim Patrick. He has gotten that business. So I like Tim Patrick this week as one of those really deep plays.
Yeah, could be a good total in that game potentially too. Andrew, let's go back to you for another guy that you feel good about starting this week.
Jarvis Landry. Apparently Odell Beckham is already missing practices. He's having excused absences because I'm sure that everything is hunky-dory with him and his dad.
Well, they told him to not play, actually. He said, like, apparently he was ready to go, and they said, no, well, you're not going to practice today.
Yeah, so that situation is spiraling right before our eyes. But Jarvis Landry, hey, he and Baker Mayfield do have a connection. So I think that Landry is the guy you still want to target as the number one pass catcher in the Cleveland Browns offense. Since he came back from his injury, he has a 28% target share. So, and the Bengals have allowed the second most receptions to wide receivers this year. So if there is OBJ, if there is no OBJ, it really doesn't matter because Baker doesn't throw him the ball. He throws the ball to Jarvis Landry. And that's what I'm looking for as a wide receiver three play in a game that, you know, we could see some points scored. So I like Jarvis Landry.
I love that one.
Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. continuing to be an enigma in fantasy circles.
You think Friday, you think that's the news Friday, Odell Beckham Jr.'s cut? Like, that'll be the thing we wake up to?
It's not impossible. Well, the Michael Thomas thing that happened, too, where wasn't it curious that, you know, less than 24 hours after the trade deadline's over, Michael Thomas announces that he's not coming back for the rest of the season? No kidding. Really? That's shocking to me. Obviously, they couldn't get a trade workout or something like that. And you're never going to see him play for the Saints again. He's going to get dealt somewhere in the offseason. It's going to happen. It's just the way it is. You're going to have to prove that he's healthy. And the Saints are in a bad spot here because they're trading away a player who hasn't been on the field, who is now seen as a problem child. So they're not going to get the value they should. And Odell, unfortunately, is not in the same part of his career that Michael Thomas is. So Odell might get cut and Odell might get picked up by somebody else. But nobody was going to trade an asset for Odell with the way things were going with him.
Apparently the Saints and the Browns were in having some conversations about Beckham, just, you know, getting back to LSU, but they couldn't agree upon any, acquisition stuff. So I think that would be a very likely destination, which will be weird, but it's probably going to be about hometown stuff. Is there the Saints next season? We're going to lose Mike Thomas, might bring in Odell Beckham.
Ugh, gross. Don't do that, Saints. All right, let's move on. What they should do is just bring in Aaron Rodgers with Davante Adams in the offseason and just start fresh.
Yeah, everybody should do that, Joe. Everybody should do that move.
Well, why? Because they have a quarterback who's taking up space right now?
No, because it's Rodgers and Adams.
Well, I'm just saying, if you think he's not going to go Tom Brady himself somewhere, you're wrong.
Like, oh, yeah.
That's exactly what he's going to do. That's the blueprint now for everybody. I'm an aging quarterback and I'm unhappy. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go somewhere that's going to have cap space and give me all the toys I want and go ahead and play football.
Remember, Rodgers did try.
I know, but do we really think he was going to play for Vic Fangio? Because I didn't.
He wanted to play for the Niners, actually. I think he had said, go back to Cal. And Kyle Shanahan's really good decision maker. He's just like, no. I mean, right now it actually looks pretty good. This week it looks really, really good with what that would have meant for the Niners. But
maybe this week, but overall. All right, let's talk about the guys we're sitting. Andrew, we'll go back to you. Give me two guys that you are sitting this week that you don't feel good about, you don't want in your lineup.
Jacoby Myers is one. I appreciate the 6 to 9 fantasy points per game that I get from every single week, but I just want to shoot for a guy that has more upside. Like, he just doesn't get high value targets. Like, he doesn't see targets downfield. He doesn't get targeted in the end zone. So if you want 6 to 9 points, okay, then start him. But if you want more to your flex or wide receiver three spot, there are other matchups you'd like more than Jacoby Myers. We saw the Carolina Panthers defense play with Stephon Gilmore last week, so we could see some coverage from Gilmore on Jacoby Myers, so it's two familiar guys going at it. I just don't see the upside in Myers. And then the other guy is Marquez Callaway. So he's kind of like the pseudo number one receiver now for the long term. So maybe he does kind of turn things around with Michael Thomas now not coming back at all, but I don't know how the targets are going to shake out with Taysom Hill under center. We have Traquan Smith in this offense. Deonte Harris is actually the one that always ends up seeing the most targets whenever he plays. And the only good game Callaway has played this year is a game that Deonte Harris got hurt in. So I don't see how Callaway, who's ranked, you know, inside the top 40, like, I have him like as a 60, like wide receiver 60. Like, I don't want to start any of these New Orleans Saints receivers really at all with the new quarterback. I mean, Taysom Hill wasn't exactly fueling wide receiver production when he was starting for the Saints last year. So I think it's going to be just a flat target share across the board, the tight ends, running backs. So I'm not playing Callaway.
All right. Who do you want to sit this week, Welsh, at wide receiver?
I want to be such a huge fan, but I am not going to be, especially this week with Devonta Smith. He has had a total of 8 receptions over the last 3 weeks combined. He had 9 targets in week 7, which he caught 5 of, but last week he had 3 total targets. And this week, the Chargers are giving up the least fantasy points to wide receivers. I'm not the biggest Jalen Hurts guy. I love Smith, and you definitely see Jalen Hurts get fixated and locked on Smith in games, but he just still does not get the ball going. They also are lacking in the running game, which I think changes up how defenses are scheming them, and I think it's going to be a lot more Jalen Hurts running. So I don't like Devontae Smith this week, and I'm going to take a playbook out of Mike Davis, and I'm going to say Allen Robinson, no, because no. There's no reason to do the Allen Robinson stuff anymore. I'm over Allen Robinson. I'm over having him be startable. I'm over every week. Oh, it might happen. Might happen this week. Nope. He's had 8 targets over the last 2 games, 5 catches. I think the total is 37 yards in a row. 37 yards over the last 2 weeks combined. I mind you, they played the San Francisco 49ers last week. So I'm done with Allen Robinson. There are literally 60 other options I would rather than play the like, oh, we're going to make it happen. No, we're not. We're not going to. I'd rather start a Saints wide receiver than Allen Robinson this week. Give me Marquez Callaway over Allen Robinson.
Well, my young friends, Andrew Erickson and Kyle Yates, had to come to that hard realization. They were on the start Allen Robinson wagon a couple weeks ago against Tampa. I was on the must sit. And they're like, no, you got to still roll him out there. I was like, no, I don't. No, I don't have
Andrew,
to
can it. You do it? Can you? I mean, like, guaranteed, because I did this, he's going to go off, of course, but like,
no,
would you
no, he's
start
not against
Robinson?
Pittsburgh. No way.
No, I mean, I have to start him in the league because of just bye weeks.
It's
like wide receiver 4 because I don't have any other options, but no, I don't want to start him. And I think just when you look at a player like Allen Robinson, I think what you should ask yourself as a fantasy manager, when you're considering dropping him, because he's definitely a droppable asset. It's like, okay, like, yeah, could he put up one big game? Sure. But if a player can't put up back-to-back good games, then they're useless. Because you're never going to have confidence to play them. So really ask yourself, okay, yes, Allen Robinson could have one good game, but will he ever have 2? And if your answer is no, drop him.
Yeah, it's like Little Dicky, back to back to back to back, bad games. It's all bad game. I would honestly tell you, I think Mohamed Sanu might be a better option than Allen Robinson this week with the Niners against the Cardinals. Let's monitor that one. I'll bet you Sanu outperforms Allen Robinson.
It's
this
so
week.
Sad. I feel so bad for him. He's had such a good career in such difficult situations with bad quarterback play, and now he's a free agent. And I don't think it should. I don't think in one fashion any NFL team should look at him differently after this season. But it's hard to imagine that he's not going to come at some kind of discount potentially.
Why didn't the Browns just be like, hey, let's swap Robinson for Beckham? Like, or, you know, the Bears, like both of them. Just let's swap these guys.
Work. I'm actually shocked that there was so little movement at the trade deadline.
Were you really, though?
Yeah, I am, because the last couple of years, it's actually been decent. Like, a few years ago, it was
trade
nonsense.
Trade deadline.
Yeah. You've been saving that one. Look at you. Oh, you're hanging out with me way too much, Erickson. But
good one-liner.
Like, 5 years ago, trade deadline, meh. And then all of a sudden, NFL trade down in the last couple of years got a little better. We saw some running backs move, some pieces move. We go, okay, these have some fantasy implications. And then this year was just nobody. I think with the longer season, nobody wanted to check out yet. And I think that's something that they should re-examine next year and maybe move the trade deadline up a couple of weeks to, let's say, week 11, like right before Thanksgiving week or something like that. Because I think that is more realistic. Too many teams are too kind of in the hunt still with more games to play now.
Kind of like fantasy. Yeah, like go like into week 10 or something. I buy that.
Yeah, what were you saying, Andrew?
No, I'm just glad that the Patriots didn't trade a second round pick for Mohamed Sanu. That's all I'm happy about.
Let's not do that again. Let's play another game. Who should I start? Let's start with another Bears wide receiver, Darnell Mooney or Van Jefferson, who's come on like gangbusters lately. Van Jefferson, one of my favorite deeper sleepers, starting to look really good out there. Erickson, who do you want to start? Van or Darnell Mooney?
Grab my keys. I'm getting in the van.
Van Jefferson. Oh, yeah. Very nice. Excellent. Welsh, how about you? Van Jefferson or Darnell Mooney?
I kind of love both of these ones. Let's go Van. Yeah, let's go Van Jefferson.
The three
road
of us.
Trip.
Road trip. Getting some Scooby snacks in the van. Let's go. We're going to solve some mysteries. Actually, it's funny. All three of us went on the van, but Darnell Mooney, 50%, Van Jefferson, 50%. So a lot closer in the expert consensus than we had here on the show today. Let's try another one. Maybe we could do Jamison Crowder, And we'll pick another wide receiver now, because unfortunately Sterling Shepard was originally that guy. He is now out. So let's pick another one besides Jameson Crowder. Let's go Crowder or Hunter Renfrow, since we talked about him. Welsh, what are your thoughts about those two guys?
Interesting, because Crowder kind of has like that similar target reception share type of a player. It just has not been consistent, though Magic Mike White made it happen. 8 catches on 9 targets last week. I'm going to still go with Renfrow, though. That's kind of one of my plays this week. I think he's a big establishment of moving the offense for the Raiders with all the craziness that's going on. Lots of touchdowns. So give me Hunter Renfrow.
How about you, Andrew? Which way would you go?
Yeah, I agree with Renfrow. The Jets do a lot of weird things with their wide receivers. Like, they rotate their receivers all over the place. You have, like, Keelan Cole, Braxton Berrios, Denzel Mims, a lot. Like, they're all taking snaps, whereas with the Raiders, now it's, like, way more concentrated. It's Hunter Renfrow, Brian Edwards, like, the top two guys, and now we'll see probably more snaps for Zay Jones, but he's never really been someone that's commanded a lot of targets. So I think Renfrow, especially with Derek Carr throwing him the ball, look, I'm gonna give the slight lean towards Derek Carr until Mike White maybe will prove me wrong again, but I'll give the lean towards Derek Carr.
All right, let's pick up the pace here for those quarterbacks a little bit. Now we got another quarterback who's not going to play, Aaron Rodgers, so this becomes more important. Quarterbacks we don't feel good about, I'll keep it simple, it's Cousins. It's just Jekyll and Hyde, you know? They're on the road this week. You don't know which team it's going to show up when it comes to the Vikings, so I'm just going to keep it simple there. Andrew, who's their quarterback one you feel maybe not so good about this week?
It's Kyler Murray. He's already missed practice. He missed practice on Wednesday, or he was not at practice. And we've seen this before when he doesn't run. He's not good in fantasy. He's not nearly as effective, and he's playing with a sprained ankle. Like, there were question marks about him even being questionable, like missing up to 1 to 2 weeks. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. It seems like he's going to play, but he's not going to be running around nearly as much. And that affects the rushing production, also affects his ability to create off-script plays, which is a lot of his game. Like, he doesn't just stand there in the pocket and drop back, diagnose the defense and throw laser beams. Like, he's making plays, he's running, he's doing bootlegs and things like that. So I think Murray is not a top five quarterback this week. I think that he should be. I know he's ECR like between 10 and 12. So I think that's accurate. I don't think he is a top 10 guy.
All right. How about you, Welsh?
I don't actually, like, when I look at all these, I don't see any that I'm just like, blah, blah. It's just like, they're all fine. But Joe Burrow kind of stands out to me. I've already pinpointed, you know, like Tyler Boyd not loving. All the wide receivers don't have fantastic matchups. He's only eclipsed 300 yards in 2 games this entire season. He has 2 touchdowns in every single game, but I think that stops this week. He's also thrown 4 picks. He's thrown a pick in 4 straight games. I'm sorry. So give me Joe Burrow as this week.
All right, let's look at the guys on the fringe of QB1 now, because it matters a lot. We got Ryan Tannehill, Daniel Jones, Tua, Carson Wentz. For you, Andrew, who kind of pops out that you feel good about starting? Is it just Tua against Houston that take the matchup and run?
Yeah, I think the Tua thing is pretty simple. I mean, he's been really good against really bad defenses, like we want from our streaming quarterbacks. Like, we want them to be good against bad defenses and bad against good defenses, and we know when to play them. Like, last week he played the Bills, sit Tua. Okay, easy money. Plays Houston this week, start Tua. I think that it's pretty simple. If you look at expected fantasy points over the last 3 weeks, Tua actually ranks 3rd in that category, 25.4. Now, a lot of it is inflated from those first 2 matchups, but even against Buffalo, he found a way to score 15 fantasy points because he had a rushing touchdown. So he wasn't even that bad against the best defense in the NFL. So against Texans, I think that Tua, you know, maybe he has a little bit extra oomph in this matchup, especially with all the Deshaun Watson stuff. Like, that's the team that he's playing, Deshaun Watson.
That's
team,
what I was saying the other day too. Yeah. I made that comment in the FS show. Like, well, of all the weeks, right, for him to go to play Houston, it's the week after several weeks of listening to trade rumors, and now he gets to go in after no trade deadline deal and gets to play Houston. Welsh, when you're looking at the Superflex group this week, you got guys on the fringe like Garoppolo, Taylor, Sam Darnold, Fields, Roethlisberger, Magic Mike White, as you like to call him, you and Boggs, Baker Mayfield, Lawrence.
Jordan,
who would
Love.
You want to start out of these guys that you feel good about in this grouping?
Of that grouping, I mean, there's a guy, like, I kind of like Taysom Hill this week, but he's a little bit higher from that grouping. I actually don't mind Jimmy Garoppolo, to be honest with you. And I'm not a Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, I'm a homer because I'm a 49er fan, but I'm not a Jimmy Garoppolo fan. But I think, yeah, Arizona backpedaling a little bit. We'll have to see where Kyler Murray fully is with that offense. The 49ers could be on the field a decent amount. I also like Ben Roethlisberger. I like 2 really ugly, cheap running quarterbacks this week in that spot. Jimmy Garoppolo, Ben Roethlisberger. But if you knock me up just a little bit, I go Taysom Hill, as he had 2 rushing touchdowns against the Falcons last year in 1 game, 2 passing in the other. We'll forget those fumbles. Don't worry about those. He can score some points. Those are some quarterbacks I like on the fringe.
All right, who should I start, Derek Carr or Daniel Jones, Welsh? Which way would you go?
Derek Carr. I'm going to go with Derek Carr. Going with the Hunter Renfrow play, maybe an uptick in Darren Waller this week, and there's just the weapon issue with Daniel Jones just has me all over the board here, so I'll go with Derek Carr and the volume of passing.
I agree. 2 for 2. Andrew, you want to make a 3 for 3?
Yeah, I think Carr has just been more consistent this year.
Mm. All right, 83% of experts agree with us. Good, the experts are back with us now. Let's talk about the tight end position. How about Tyler Higbee as a guy in the top tier of tight end, if you want to call it that? He is tight end 10 on the week. I mean, they just don't need him. That's the problem, I think, with Tyler Higbee. I look around like, they just don't need him. He's only got one double-digit performance in half-point PPR all season. Just one. That's it. I mean, this is an offense now that's rolling with Woods and Kupp, and Henderson looked great, and Stafford looks great. Higbee's just not part of it for me. Andrew, who's a tight end that you're not thrilled with this week? Who's a tight end one, theoretically?
Hunter Henry. Jonnu Smith is starting to get a little bit more healthy, so they're starting to use him a little bit more in the offense. Hunter Henry was just running pure on touchdowns. He had 4 touchdowns in a row in 4 straight games. That's kind of was fueling his fantasy production, but he's literally had 3 targets, an average of 3 targets over his last 3 games. So I don't think that this is a really good spot. Again, he has to score a touchdown, and the Carolina Panthers have actually faced just 2 end zone targets to tight ends this season. So Hunter Henry is boomer bust, and that's ranking him as tight end 9 for a boomer bust guy. I mean, I could just play Mo Alie-Cox. Like, he's the same kind of profile, and he's at tight end like 19.
Or Pat Freiermuth. How about you, Welsh? Who you want to maybe be reconsidering at tight end 1 this week?
I love Freiermuth, by the way.
We all do.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz, I think, coming off of the bye. Schultz still got his 7 targets, but only 2 catches. More specifically, it might be about the matchup. Also, there is the potential of Michael Gallup being back, which could eat up into that. But Denver hasn't given up a touchdown to a tight end all season. All season long. I think there is a tier of tight ends that are the top 4, and everybody else is a big grouping. The tiers have changed to me, where I was going off about this a couple weeks ago, that tight end has become the quarterback, you know, late streamer. You know, everyone's a late quarterback. It's late tight end at this point. The amount of guys you can find on a week in to week out basis that you can stream in there, whether you're not drafting and picking up off the bye or just playing week to week, picking up guys like Ricky Seals-Jones or Tyler Conklin or Freiermuth, you can play that. And anybody outside of the top 4, I think, is expendable in, if I don't like their matchup, I could move off Schultz. I don't particularly like his matchup, so that would be the one I pick.
Who should I start, Dan Arnold or Jared Cook? I'm gonna go with Dan Arnold in this one. Welsh, who would you take out of those two?
I'm gonna go with Dan Arnold. Dan Arnold has had 23 targets over the last 3 games. Trevor Lawrence likes him some Dan Arnold, and he is exactly the point of what I was talking about, of these stinky tight ends that you can just pick up off the wire and throw in there. Just give me targets. They don't have to be sexy names. Dan Arnold, sir. Yes.
All right, Andrew, are we all getting in the van for Dan Arnold as well?
Yes, get in the chopper, Don.
The Dan van.
Time.
Yeah, I'll give you to do it now. Get
Dan
in the chopper.
Arnold. He pops a lot in terms of routes run. Like, that's something that I look at a lot when we're looking at these, you know, lesser owned or rostered tight ends. You know, 70% routes run per dropback rate over the last 3 weeks. So yeah, he's on the field a ton. Like, he's seeing usage like a wide receiver more than a tight end. And it's more than Jared Cook, who, you know, Jared Cook could catch a touchdown against the Patriots, or he could catch a touchdown, or it could be Donald Parham. And then you're just like, well, pulling your hair out because it was Parham instead of Jared Cook. Whereas right. Dan Arnold is the tight end guy in Jacksonville.
All right. All right. Let's get to our favorite starts and sits of the week. I will kick things off here. I want to start Devontae Parker against Houston. I want to start Waddle too. I want to start Gesicki. I want to start all of them, but most specifically Parker when he is back and on the field. Again, Houston just not very good. This roster's not very good, and they're continuing to show on a weekly basis they're just getting their doors blown off here. And for me, the must sit of the week is Tyler Higbee. I already said it. Like, there's other good options out there. Guys like Dan Arnold I feel better about than Tyler Higbee at this point. They just don't need him, and they've shown that he is not really a focal point in any way, shape, or form of what they're trying to do on the field. Erickson, how about for you? Who are you? Who's your must start and must sit of the week?
Yeah, so I think that Kadarius Toney should be in your lineup. He's really the main show in town for the Giants offense. So I think that he's going to continue to see a ton of targets. He's looked explosive when he's gotten the football. As long as he's healthy, I think that he's good to go. And then my sit will be Marvin Jones. I just think the matchup is really bad against Buffalo. And Marvin Jones is not establish himself as someone that, oh, like, yeah, he's the number one. Like, he's trustworthy. That's not the case at all. Like, he really wasn't even supposed to be the number one. DJ Chark was. I was supposed to be the number one on the outside. Now he's seeing better coverage, and it's just you don't want to invest too heavily in this Jacksonville offense. Dan Arnold is enough for us.
Is enough for all of us. Welsh, how about you?
Marvin Jones is like the Clerks. He's like, I'm not even supposed to be here today. I like that. I wanted to go, as far as start goes, I actually changed mine. I'm teetering between, I really like Tim Patrick, but I'm going to go back to my James Conner play. I just love the James Conner play. If the Cardinals get into the red zone, they're going to go heavy on him. They're going to be able to run the ball a bit. It's not Edmonds, it's James Conner. So that's going to be my favorite. My sit, I could go cheap and I could give you the nose. I could give you Mike Davis. I could give you Allen Robinson. I won't. I'm going to go back to that play with Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith, just a bad matchup. Jalen Hurts, not the best quarterback as far as full volume goes. And Hurts has moved the ball around a whole bunch. So I'm going to say Devontae Smith is my sit.
All right, there you have it. Let's touch on Thursday Night Football. The New York Jets travel to Indianapolis. Oh, man, I want Mike White to be good so bad for Dan Harris's sake, just because I want that quarterback controversy. What do? You just had a number two overall pick, right? You spend on Zach Wilson and some guy named Mike White starts to win football games for you. I want this narrative so bad it hurts. Welsh, can Mike White do it again?
I don't think he can do it again, but I really, really hope he does. I'm all for it. I love the idea of this guy unseating like the first pick. It's so magical and so awesome, especially if they were to sit Zach Wilson in favor of him long term. It would make me so happy. I'm the type of person, I root for 0-17 seasons and stuff, so I'm for it.
You're a
miserable
person. I am kind of a miserable person,
but that defensive line is not going to be, it's not going to be nice to Mike White. So no, probably I don't think he can do it again.
All right, who would you start here, Crowder or Elijah Moore, Andrew, in this game tonight?
I think that I'd probably start Jameson Crowder. I think that he has a safer floor than Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore is not even running around on 50% of the dropbacks. So like, he's still like not seeing a full-time role. He's running behind Denzel Mims and Keelan Cole, and it's really perplexing because we see how explosive he is when he gets the ball in his hands. He had 6 targets, 6 catches last week, but he's not a full-time player. So I'm going to ultimately go to the guy that's playing more snaps and is also seeing a decent amount of volume in the offense. So I will go with Jameson Crowder, and it's a good matchup for him in the slot.
And the Colts are pretty obvious. We know Wentz, Taylor, Pittman, we know what they do. So we don't spend too much time on them. But last one, would you throw Michael Carter into your lineup this week? Welsh, yes or no?
Absolutely.
Andrew, 2 for 2?
Carter.
Yeah, I mean, Philip Rivers, after he retired, we needed someone to take the checkdown king moniker, and Mike White has been our white knight for that reason.
Oh, why the white knight. There you go. We can't end on a better note than that, so we're going to end. That's another one going on the back of the jersey, the white knight.
Love it.
All right, I want to remind everybody, head over to fantasypros.com/myplaybook so you can get that autopilot and the start sit assistant, that will help you set all your lineups and it'll also help you set your lineups when you're not available over with autopilot. So you can't go wrong at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Again, with that start sit assistant and the autopilot feature. I want to thank all the sponsors of today's show, including Prize Picks. Use your promo code GRIDIRON over at Prize Picks to receive 100% instant deposit match for up to $100. Again, that promo code is GRIDIRON and the place to play is Prize Picks. And also, I want to thank our sponsor, Beachbound. Visit beachbound.com and book your next beach vacation. I want to thank the Welsh for hanging out with us today. You could follow him on the Twitter machine at IsItTheWelsh. And also check out the Patreon page for In This League with him and Bogman. Hilarious, informative, all of the above. Welsh, it was so nice to have you on the show again today.
Aw, it was nice to see both of you. I love both of you. And I got to like fully meet Andrew earlier when he came on the show with us this year, which, by the way, was just rocking on the show. So I was super excited to see that he was here. And I love you both. I love our nicknames. This is the nickname show.
So
let's hope they stick.
So good. Let's hope they stick, and let's hope we don't lose any other players before Sunday's games. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Welsh and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.